Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue today to talk about our theme this week is on the judgments of God. God's judgments are good, and God's judgments are a reflection of God's love. They are an expression of God's love. And God judges, as I said throughout this week. If you haven't had a chance, by the way, to listen to the programs this week, friends, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can download them on whatever device works for you to listen to them at your leisure. Best thing to do is to download the Renewal Ministries app on your phone or the Ave Maria app. Then the programs are available to you in a very convenient way anytime, night or day. And friends, I encourage you to pass the word about the program as well and help be a conduit of God's grace and evangelization and mission and communicating to the friends and the network of friends that you have. So if this show's been a blessing to you, that it could be a blessing to others that you know as well. So today, I want to go back to, first, just a reminder, I've been looking at this week the meaning of God's judgments and trying to understand them through the eyes of a saint, Saint Bernardine of Siena, who gave a sermon on Psalm 119 verse 126, Psalm 119 verse 126, basically saying, Lord, it's time to act. Your laws have been rejected. People are turning away. They're no longer listening. They're no longer listening to God's word. They're not interested in God's word. And they're doubling down on a way of life that is radically opposed to what God is calling us to. So Saint Bernardine was an amazing preacher and teacher of the faith. And he was a wise leader, and his understanding of the unfolding of God's judgments is very, very insightful, and it's worthy of our reflection. So one of the things he said in describing how God begins first by, before a time of judgment, there's an outpouring of God's mercy. Again, I mentioned, I think, this on Tuesday. I was so struck by that because just thinking, for example, of the divine mercy that's emerged in the last 50 years in the world. There's a little bit longer than that, maybe a little bit longer, 70 years. The ministry of God's call in the life of Sister Faustina and St. John Paul II becoming Pope and the connection there between those two and how the Lord was making a way for that message to be both discerned and validated by the Pope and doors opening and her being canonized. And what is it? It's God's mercy. But there's a lot of confusion about God's mercy. And Sister Faustina had a real clear picture of what that mercy meant and how deep and wide and amazing is God's mercy. But God's mercy can never be presumed upon. That God's mercy is experienced as a human being acknowledges before God their sinfulness and their need for God's mercy. And repent, that means change their life and turn toward God and to walk in God's commandments and God's will. That's what mercy's about. Deep repentance, receiving God's forgiveness, coming into the life of the church, walking in the power of the Spirit, experiencing the grace of the sacraments, and the full mercy that God gives to cleanse us from all our sin, and the new power and new capacity to live a new way of life. There's a lot of confusion out there that somehow mercy means just affirming people in whatever lifestyle they're choosing for themselves. And especially if they say in their conscience they believe they're doing the right thing, without saying, look, the only conscience that's worth following is a rightly formed conscience. And lots of people are claiming conscience, or even some religious leaders, even some bishops, are saying no matter what people say about their conscience, nobody can stand in the way. No one should oppose what people say in conscience they should be able to do. But there's a lot more that could be said about that. But bottom line is, looking at this teaching this week of St. Bernardine of Siena, he described seven signs that God's judgment is ripe. It's close at hand. I'm just going to read them again without commenting on them, because they're, you can just absorb them and you can see the condition our culture's at. So he says, number one, the existence of many horrendous sins, like in Sodom and Gomorrah. Number two, the fact that sin is committed with full knowledge and deliberate consent. Number three, that these sins are committed by entire people as a whole. Can't resist thinking, just look what we're doing, friends, with abortion again. I just want to comment, even though I said I wasn't going to, I just need to. because I didn't say this yet this week, you know, in the United States, the Guttmacher Institute described even up to from 1973 to 2017, 62,500,000 children have been aborted. And now that number is probably up since that was 2017. That number must be up into 70 million. Just this year alone, 14 million babies around the world. We are, as we should be, our hearts are broken with how many deaths, how many millions of deaths have happened, a few million around the world because of COVID. Well, guess what? Last year, or it was maybe 2019, 40 million children were aborted and killed around the world. And since 1973, exact estimates are hard to find, but clearly everybody out there who's taking a serious look at it says over a billion children have been killed. So as I read this, that these sins, number three, that these sins are committed by entire people as a whole. Number four, that this happens in a public and shameless manner. Number five, that it happens with all the affection of the heart of sinners. Number six, that sins are committed with attention and diligence. Number seven, that all of this is done in a continuous and persevering way. So that's how he put his finger on. He said, when these things, these conditions are present, understand that God has permitted the human heart to have its way, and soon the consequences of that will come. And he describes then, St. Bernardine goes on to say, when this begins to happen, one of the things you'll notice is God takes away the guides for people, people's guides, that is, political leaders, spiritual leaders in cultures, in societies, that is, good ones, virtuous ones, wise ones, strong ones. Look at what we've got. Look at just the public conversation that we have. Look at what's being exposed, the craziness in our politics today, the compromise, the foolishness, the division, the propaganda, the lies, the battles that are going on, the pride that's being expressed there. We're getting the leaders we deserve. He said even angels that preside over nations, the Lord calls them back. Think about that. Here's an example. Remember the story of Fatima. Who did the Lord first send to the three children at Fatima? It was an angel. It was an angel of Portugal. Over every nation are angels, cities, angels, watching over. We have guardian angels for our own lives. Imagine, this is what St. Bernardine said, that God will even remove the protection against, by ruling angels, against the kingdom of darkness and the consequences of human sin. But when human beings insist on them, insist on doubling down in darkness and rebellion against God, God gives them over. So that's one thing. He says God takes away people's guides. Number two, he takes away the light of truth. Wow. The brightest light, the clearest light, the ground of all truth, or the ground of all reality, the ground of all being is God himself. That reality of God was perfectly revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and nothing was made that has been made. He said, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Jesus is the light of the world. That means he's the ground of all truth. He's the definer of reality. He communicates the truth about real things. And if you stand against him, you stand against what he teaches, you affirm something that opposes him as true, you are a liar, and you're a fool, and you're walking in darkness. That's the teaching of Jesus, clear and plain, teaching of the apostles. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. Jesus is the life that was the light of men. Why was his life? Because it was the life of heaven comes to us in the person of Jesus, and he reveals to us the meaning of everything and the ground of all being. And so this is true. And friends, even the beginning of science, you know, which is exalted today as the ultimate truth of all things. There's a scientism that's dominating the mind of the culture, like it has the answers for everything and somehow has proven that God doesn't exist, which is a crazy thing. Science studies matter, what it is, but it has no why question. It doesn't have any capacity to study the invisible world. So it insists that there is no invisible world because its gadgets haven't discovered it some way. Number two, again, God takes away the light of truth. The truth about who he is. Truth about our destiny. The truth about the meaning of our lives. The truth about the consequences of not responding to God. Of walking in darkness. The ultimate judgment. God has sent prophets. He sent his mother. He sent saints to warn us about this. And we boast in darkness. And one of the things that St. Bernardine says as well is that when God's judgments come heavily, people don't see it coming because they're so blinded, so deeply insisting on their own way and celebrating their own goodness that they don't even hardly have the capacity anymore to repent without a serious dose of God's grace for their lives. So, number one, he said God takes away people's guides. Number two, he takes away the light of truth. Number three, he allows them to fall into the hands of their own devices. He allows them to fall into the hands of their own devices. You can see that so clearly in Romans chapter 1, where St. Paul here in this scripture, the heading, it gives it God's wrath against man's wickedness and suppressing the truth, the deep wickedness, as the prophets of the Old Testament remind us. To deny God, to ignore God, to speak against God, to live against his ways, to live as if he doesn't exist, to just opt out of the God thing, is a profound act of rebellion. And it's wicked. It's evil. And to do that, whether people want to admit it or not, to get to that place, human hearts have to give themselves over to the temptation to suppress the truth about God, to refuse to acknowledge God's existence, and to refuse to give him thanks. So here's the section I just want to read from Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God and give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Friends, there's only two realities, light and darkness, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemy. To suppress the light of God, by definition, means you have exercised your freedom. You've fallen into the seduction of the enemy, and you've stepped into the darkness. And now you're subject to that decision, which is going to lead you into futility. Because to try to construct a reality apart from God is the definition of foolishness. Because you're pretending that the ground of reality isn't even real, doesn't even exist. And so now you go and create your own reality. And you become a creator. You make a world of make-believe, and then the devil wants to help you do that and help you celebrate and constantly reward yourself at how wise and how good you are. I'm going to pick this passage up again tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.